started last week with a few messages on the Lord's Prayer. And so it's on the screen now, and I invite you, if you will, to repeat it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. First place I learned that prayer was at school. You believe that? Do you remember the days when most teachers had this very colorful Bible story book on their desk that was provided by donors? And then when it came time to memorize things, we would memorize these very unfortunate things. We've memorized the Ten Commandments. We've memorized the Lord's Prayer. And we'd memorize the 23rd Psalm. Have to stand up in front of the children and the other classes and say, wasn't that terrible? Just horrible, horrible that we did that. But you know what? That's an indication of what's happened in America and around the world. The disrespect. And that's what I want to talk about today. The disrespect that's being shown to God. Now, if I mention the name Billy Graham, anybody that's my age, of course, and maybe a little bit younger, knows all about Billy Graham. We know that Billy Graham and George Beverly Shea and those team that he had put together back in the 40s had a revival in Los Angeles, California that just exploded. It made national headlines. It went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and his name became known. And over the next 30 and 40 years, he, maybe 50 years, he preached all around the world. Billy Graham has been credited with preaching to more people than anybody else who's ever lived. He's been credited with going to more countries and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ than anybody else that has ever lived. Now, we know great names come and go that have done as powerful a work as Billy Graham has done, but no one has touched the lives of more people. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, which even in his age where he's not able to be personally involved, is still ministering and witnessing and touching the lives of people all around the world. And the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has been used to win more people to Jesus Christ than anybody else in any other organization that's ever existed. And we owe them a great deal of respect and thanks for the work they've done. Billy Graham is in his 90s. He's not able to travel like he used to do. He doesn't leave his home place there in the Asheville Black Mountain area very often. Don Wilton, who is the pastor at First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, is his personal pastor. And if Don is in town every Thursday, if he's not traveling somewhere else, he and Sam Davis, a good friend of mine, travel to Black Mountain, and then Don goes back and spends time with Billy Graham, sometimes several hours, where they pray together and they read Scripture together and they talk and share and are encouraged. Great man of God. If you were invited to go to Black Mountain, if you were asked to come and meet Billy Graham, if you were told that you were going to have a meal with him and that he was going to give you his undivided attention, how in the world would you respond? Would you go walking in there and slap him on the back and say, "Billy, man, how you doing? Good to see you. Hope you're well." Well, the skinny jean religion would probably try that. Because we've lost respect and awe for those who have walked in the place of Jesus Christ in this world. Would we go up there and start peppering him with, "What do you think about Donald Trump?" Would we have our list of questions that we'd start asking him? Well, I don't know. Not my generation. I don't think we would. I think I'd be a bit nervous. I'd be kind of overwhelmed by the whole idea, why me? What am I doing here? I've never done anything. I would probably be very quiet, and I absolutely would be very respectful, and I would be listening to every word he said. I'd want to record it, but out of respect, I probably would have left my phone in the car. That wouldn't happen today. I'd listen, and I'd want to. Out of respect and admiration for a man that God has certainly used in a mighty way, with a heart of gratitude that I would even be allowed to visit with him and come into his presence to shake his hand, sit down at a table, have a meal with him, and just be there, I would carefully gauge my words. I would watch my actions, and I would temper my responses. And I would thrive in every moment. No, wait a minute. Are we talking about Billy Graham or are we talking about God? See, we've lost respect for both. But we've especially lost respect. Billy Graham deserves our utmost honor and respect. But our God deserves even more. And that's the honor and respect that I'm talking about today. What if you were told you could have that one-on-one with God? What if you were told that you were personally invited to come and sit down with Him at the banquet table and have a meal and sit at His feet and learn from Him? How would you approach God? What would your attitude be? What would the words that would come out of your mouth, what would you try to learn? And if you did have that opportunity when you left Him, would it make any difference? Well, when Jesus was trying to teach His disciples how to pray, this simple prayer that's still on the screen was the prayer He used to help us understand how we even begin to approach God. We're not nervous, are we? We don't stand in awe of God, do we? And we certainly do run our mouths a lot when we pray. When's the last time you prayed and you didn't say a word, but you just listened for God to speak? Well, it's interesting. I remember the story in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. You know, when God had to get Moses' attention, he had that burning bush experience. And God speaks from the burning bush and He says, Moses, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. When we come to the Father in heaven, we're standing on holy grounds, and whatever it is that is dirty in our lives needs to be removed. We need to bow in His presence with our hands open and our hearts open and the knowledge that this is God's place that we've come into. Later on, and I want to read this, later on in chapter 34 of Exodus, it says that God is preparing him to etch out the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. And he says in verse 8, Moses bows to the ground at once and he worships God. He knows that now God has led him all these many years through all these different pathways, and now there's a specific, kind of a mundane task. He's going to etch out on stone. He's going to have to do manual labor to take them back to the people. And what does he first do? He bows down to the ground and he worships him. And then this is the story where when he's on that mountaintop, it says when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he has the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with God. And when Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant. And they were afraid to come near him. But Moses calls to them and says, so Aaron and his leaders of the community come back to him and they speak to him. And afterwards all of Israel came near him and he gave them the commands of the Lord and that he had been given on Mount Sinai. Here's the idea behind this idea that he had been before the Father. face to face in a manner in which most of us don't get to do. But he recognized full well the importance of that moment and what it meant and how bringing it back. No one needs to be afraid of God in that respect. Everybody needs to receive from God all that he does. We live in a world and a society that has little honor and little respect for the living, powerful Creator God of the universe. We're going to talk about the Creator God of the universe to these children. We're going to help them understand. We have to combat the politically correct junk that's out there in this world. Too many people have tried to be cute and relevant to what they call relevant and personal in their attempts to attract people to hear what they've got to say. Folks, we don't have to do that. This word is all that's needed. If you preach it, tell it, share it, that's all that's needed with the Holy Spirit. But there's a man named Nate Barber. He's a pastor somewhere, and he had a sermon about the Heavenly Father that he titled, "My Daddy's Stronger Than Superman." Now, I know that's cute. That sounds cutesy. You know, put it on your bulletin board out there. Let people see it. I don't care. But does it respect God? God's not Superman. You know why I don't like, I don't want to pretend to be somebody else during Christmas? Because I don't want to be any confusion. Because Jesus lived and died for me for real. I don't want any confusion there. A guy named Teddy Walker and then a host of other preachers have preached about the Heavenly Father using the title, "Who's Your Daddy?" after some rapper. Now, it's also been used on Father's Day, "Who's Your Daddy?" in another type of series of sermons. But, you know, I don't want us to be that flippant. Another man named David Ward, he's also a preacher. He talked about the Heavenly Father. He said, "God, your daddy," back in December of 04. Now, he was using Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. I'm going to put it on the screen, where Paul says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and that by him we cry, Abba, Father." Now, I get what he was trying to say there, that we can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven. We can. I agree with him. I know what he's saying in theory and in truth, but I don't get the flippantness of calling God Daddy. I have a problem with that. And I'll give you the scripture for my problem in a moment. I'll hold that for just a minute. The word sonship there literally means to be adopted. I still honor those who are fostering children. I still honor those who have adopted children who don't have a mom and a dad, who don't have the earthly nurturing that most of us took for granted or take for granted or we've enjoyed in our life. But we need to be careful when we become flippant enough to just call God Daddy in heaven. You know, I have a problem with that. The word Abba has been translated Daddy. But you've got to understand that in the Jewish faith, they didn't take that flippantly. And it didn't mean Daddy in the English term or phrase. It was a phrase of respect. Abba, Father. It's almost like saying Father of Fathers. And so I get what this guy was trying to say, but I want to be careful that I'm not flippant when I'm talking about my Heavenly Father. The early Christians used that phrase, but we have to remember it was always tied in with honoring him. The New Testament used it in reference to tying it in with Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I believe. They didn't use that phrase out of a sense of wanting something. But they used that phrase out of a sense of recognizing that God has already given all we need. He's already done all that needs to be done. And we need to recognize our Heavenly Father for what he has done for us. Because Jesus didn't hang on that cross to die for my sins and scream out, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, help me, help me, help me, save me, save me. Take care of those Romans. Get them, get them, get them." He didn't do that. What does the Scripture say? He said, "Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit and my soul and my life. Father, it is finished." I've done it, and others have taken that low road in an effort to be cute and relevant and try to reach people and teach about the Bible. But I want to suggest today, we need to be very careful here. We do not need to trivialize the name of the Lord. I think, as several people said, I tried to put the shirt on over this shirt, and I really looked like a dork. I just couldn't do it. And I just couldn't just wear that today. It's called the Skinny Jean Preaching Society. I can't do that, because I have learned all my life the relevancy and the honor and the respect that is due our Heavenly Father. And I think that I have to demonstrate that here. Now, I'm going to wear the shirt tonight. That's different in Bible school. But when we come together as a corporate body to worship Him, there must be a sense of standing on holy ground. Even though we're etching the stones and doing the handwork, God is the author and finisher of that work. And we're here for Him, not for ourselves. We're here to worship Him. So when Jesus was asked the question by His disciples, "Teach us to pray," He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father." He's mine and yours, and He's everyone's Father. And the Scripture, the word Father is a reflection of who God really is. For example, in Malachi 2:10, it says, Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us all? And then in Ephesians 4, verse 6, Paul's referring to the same thing. He says, "One God and Father of all." One God, one Father. And over and over and over again, Paul in Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Thessalonians and Philemon and other, all through the New Testament, he refers to God as our Father. Not our daddy, but our Father. Our Father in heaven. Our Father with great and mighty powers and the Creator of all that is. And even Jesus, over and over and over again, refers to God as our Father. When He's talking about showing mercy, He talks about, in Luke 6:36, He says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." When He talks about provisions in our life, in Matthew 10:29, He says, "Are there not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." And then in Luke 12:30, He says, "For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, for your Father knows that you need them." He talks about it when we're witnessing. Just a couple of verses. There's a lot of those. Matthew 10:20, "For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." And Matthew 18:14 says, "So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of the little ones should perish." And we should keep that in mind during Vacation Bible School. He talks about Father when He's talking about overcoming our fears, and we all have fears. He says in Luke 12:32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." He talks about the Father. Jesus talks about the Father when we're taught to forgive. And I'll just give one here because there's many scriptures. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Your Father. He talks about the Lord as Father when he talks about trusting God in Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask him? Your Father in heaven. And so while I was looking at just dozens and dozens of scripture that just lift this truth up before us in such a clear and mighty way, I stumbled across a verse that I've read many times, just like you have, but then I saw clearly what I think God's trying to say in the midst of this. Matthew 23, verse 9. Now listen to it. Do not call anyone on earth your father. Now, that's not talking about our Heavenly Father. I call my father dad. Some of you call your father father. All of those things. But the phrase that is being referred to here, if you understand it in the Hebrew context, the Greek context, is this is the Father. Not just a father. This is the Father. And so he says, do not call anyone on earth the Father. And then he says, for one is the Father. It says your, but if you understand it in its context, as it's written in the Greek, it's the Father. He who is in heaven. Now, this is what I started to say a while ago, but I'll say it now. The reason we must bear in mind that we are giving the Father all the respect and due His name is because He says right here to me, we are not to elevate anyone on earth to Godship. That's called idolatry. But on the other hand, and this is where I disagree with the skinny jeans religion, on the other hand, we're not to bring God down to our level to understand Him, to talk about Him, or to honor Him. He is the Father which art in heaven. He is not the daddy who comes down here and takes care of all of my needs. It's different. And so I marked that one in my Bible. Of course, this Bible is about to fall apart, so I'm going to have to mark it in another one. Exodus 20, verse 7 is the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold you guiltless who take His name in vain. Now, what does vanity here mean? It means empty, useless, and worthless. Bringing God down to our level is doing just that. We cannot take His name. It doesn't mean I'm cursing, using curse words, but it does mean that I might as well curse Him by being disrespectful to Him. I don't care what you think about Donald Trump, but it'd be like walking into the White House, going into the Oval Office, and hey, Prez, how you doing? It's disrespectful, dishonoring. I wouldn't have done that to Barack Obama. It's disrespectful. It's dishonoring. How come we think we can do this with God? We can't. We're not supposed to. We must watch ourselves clearly. So the message is clear today. It's very clear. As Jesus taught His disciples, He said, you begin by saying, our Father. You've got to focus on our Father. The Father, the one and the only, the Creator of the universe. He who is and was and always has been. He which is the first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega. He is what He is, and He is who we are. We've been created in His image. And so the point today is very simple. Do we and will we honor His name and give Him the glory that is due it? Or have we lowered the bar? Have we made flippantness acceptable even before God? Have we taken His name in vain? Would you bow with me as we pray? And as we begin to pray, I just want to ask a couple of questions. Do we sense the awesome, mighty presence of a holy, righteous God in our midst today? See, it doesn't matter who else is here. If we see Jesus, if we know He's in our midst, we put aside all the cares of this world and we honor Him with our life and our lips. So are we willing today to put aside all the little daddy language that we may have used toward the Heavenly Father? Repent of the flippantness and recognize how awesome He really is. You see, here's the deal. He has invited us to the mountain. The door is wide open. He says, "Come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The world won't do that. The world can't do that. Jesus says, "Cast your burdens on me, and I will lift them up." And so the banquet table has been prepared. The choir in heaven is ready to sing. Jesus invites us in. And I know that I'm not going to bust heaven wide open with my personality, and there will be an awestruck Ken Reed on my knees before a Father. One I don't completely understand, but I love. Father in heaven, forgive us for being flippant. Forgive us for being arrogant enough to think that we're just your good old buddy. Now, I've got buddies on earth, but you're my Father in heaven. Lord, I love you for that, because I don't want to dismiss or degrade your name. I want to lift it up. And so I pray across this congregation, if we all need to repent of this attitude and return to the Father and Son, help us to do that right now. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your word that teaches us, your Holy Spirit that explains it, fills us, motivates us, and sends us out. For your Son, Jesus, who did for us what nobody else would ever even think about doing. Suffered and died to take the punishment for my sin that I deserved. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I dedicate our lives to you, Lord, as our Father, as our God, as our Lord, as our Master, as the King of Kings. You're the awesome one. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I must tell Jesus. I hope you do want to do that. So as we stand, as we sing, as God speaks to your heart, if you need to respond, respond today. But if you don't do anything else while you sing, sing this to the Father in heaven. Let's stand. To the Father be all the glory forever and ever. Let's pray. As we dismiss, Lord, we don't ever dismiss. We always pray. We always pray without ceasing. We always stand in your presence, and we always recognize the Father in heaven. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.